It's flatter. Motions greener. Don't ride. Stand up. Got out. Bring back. Don't go love. Got too much, don't show love.
All right, so how was it recording the album with the band?
Well, for that album in particular, we had rented a small villa in southern Italy. And what I'd done is I'd taken the sheets from my bed and created a makeshift recording studio over the toilet bowl. And that's how we actually recorded Masterful Mind.
Oh, wow.
At the time, yeah.
Wow. I mean, you can really hear it in the actual tracks, especially number four. Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
I know what you're talking about.
When
that,
you say that.
The 15th syllable in the second
right,
bar.
Right, right.
Don't let me down. we had actually come up with that earlier that day because there was a local girl going down on one of the bandmates.
Oh, what do you mean? She was sucking them off.
We won't speak on that now.
Right, it's better we cut that from the interview. It says for BBC, actually.
We mustn't. We mustn't. Oh, you do. Well, you can cut what you like, but it's the truth either way. You know, we were young, not so young anymore. 46 I was at the time. Lots of young girls in southern Italy. I'll tell you that much.
Well, let me just go ahead and welcome everybody to the Blueberry Tent podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 8.99.
Yeah, we're not episode 98. We still owe Michaela a good episode. We gotta get our shit together.
I like that you cut it off that time. It was going too far.
Yeah, this is episode 8.99 because episode 9 is still reserved for designer, forward thinker, waste junkie, Michaela Martinez.
We're basically trying to get this out there that unless Michaela makes time for us, we're just going to be stuck in this limbo, you know, in this liminal space between episode 8 and 9 forever.
That's really not the case.
It's going to be like 2023.
It's not a case of her not making time. It's a case of us. Well, I mean, you bought a new mic, actually.
No, I'm just goofing.
I think the people will be able to hear your new voice quality.
Hello, the people. Actually, you want to switch around just so they can get a taste of your crisp voice on the new mic? Here I am in low quality again, guys.
And here I am on the brand new Samsung Q2U.
You know what?
A beautiful mic.
You know what goofing around with microphones always makes me think of?
What?
It's a really dumb joke from like one of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books.
Uh-huh.
It used to crack me up so much where the Loaded Diaper Boys, like the band, they get like a kind of echo pedal or effect, and they're just like in the basement, they're like, someone let out a fart.
Is that in the movie or in the books?
It's in the books as well as the movie, I think.
Okay, yeah.
But I just thought it was the funniest thing that they had this new technology and that's what they're using it for first.
Man, I used to love reading those books. You just read them all. You read a whole book in a night.
In a night,
you feel so accomplished.
Yeah, because you're just tricked into thinking that you're reading an actual book when you're really reading a comic book.
It's basically like 2,000 words.
Yeah.
It's like an article or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, they were so digestible. They were so much fun.
Yeah.
I've come to... it's actually another topic. There's so many obscure topics like that, especially from people's childhood, that are like ripe for kind of analysis and stuff. But I remember watching a video essay about those Diary of a Wimpy Kid books.
Mm-hmm.
And how towards like the 14th book or whatever in the series, they really took a dip in quality.
That's to be expected, for
like
sure.
A lot of repeating graphics, you know, like a lot of the same illustrations from like book 3 being used again, stuff like that.
Oh.
Real cheap kind of. Dude, actually, I remember because in the Netherlands, everyone as a kid reads Donald Ducks, right? It's like a weekly...
Yeah, I always see them at the checkout at Jumbo.
Yeah, exactly. Those are a big thing. And I was one of those people. I'd have a yearly subscription and I'd get those Donald Duck stories every year. And I also had other collections of Donald Duck stories, like Little Pockets and, you know, smaller books or larger books that weren't the weekly magazine. And I remember one time finding the exact same story
in like a fresh weekly magazine that I already had in one of my old like whatever extra thick vacation books. And I was like, what is this? You know, these are supposed to be fresh. These are supposed to be up to date. And I felt it was like my first sense of like discovering a conspiracy theory. But I don't know if it's wrong exactly. I mean, surely they must have to recycle some stories. But the fact that it's sold weekly makes it kind of makes it a bit iffy.
I mean, especially if your previous book that you saw it in was like a thick, kind of limited edition, special edition.
Right, yeah. There'd be like this 250-page like vacation editions where it's like take it on summer holiday and it'll have, you know, a Scrooge McDuck story and it'll have a DuckTales story and it'll have even a Mickey Mouse in there and it'll have puzzles and all sorts of like just activities for the summer, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm gonna hold this point back.
No, it's so comfortable to hold.
It's so nice.
But yeah, episode 8.99. We're actually testing out some planning on this one. We did some preparation beforehand, and I'm really excited to get into it.
Yeah. Donald Duck was not on that list.
No, it wasn't. But first thing up on the list is the summer, which is coming up. We just went past June 21st, which is the longest day of the year and kind of the start of the summer, you were saying?
Yeah, what's today? The
29th.
Yeah, recording on the 29th right now.
Yes.
Actually, that brings us as well to the book challenge that we said we'd complete by the end of June. We don't even know if anyone remembers, but to be honest, we did not make that much progress on both of our books.
It's despicable behavior. It's fucking, it's early 20s. Can't just implement a simple reading habit behavior.
Yeah, it's like some Gen Z shit, to be honest.
What did I get distracted with? I really got back into chess videos. Oh, much more so than before.
Yeah, are you watching anyone else than just Daniel Nerditsky?
No, I was on this other guy for a while, Eric Rosen. And he's a very wholesome streamer. He's a lovely guy.
He's a bit older, right?
I wouldn't say he looks a bit older.
He looks
that's for sure. I think he's a young guy, and it's funny when I watch him play chess. The whole game has a different feeling to me than when I'm watching Daniel with his very critical approach to everything. And he's a grandmaster after all. So he's got all the tricks up his sleeve. And it seems like Eric Rosen just plays for fun, and he has a saying where he's like, this knight or this bishop, he'd feel really good over here, or it's all kind of a feeling thing for him, which is nice.
That's good. Yeah.
And he's like, how can I get him to hop over there? He kind of, you know, just these little changes in languages.
How can he get there?
Yeah, it's nice. It's more personified. Yeah,
because Naroditsky, he's just a really good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But he's one of those, you know, it's like a math teacher who you really like, but it's still maths, you know, and they're having to get you to understand pretty complicated ideas, and like they're very serious about it, you know, and they'll come up with their fun metaphors
for sure,
but it's still definitely math. You know what I mean? It's a lot more fun than math, but it makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
we got a nice boat coming by.
We are in someone's picture.
Hey,
right now.
Let's go.
It's some kind of, it looks like some kind of photography boat, actually.
It looks like a fun time.
Yo.
Hey. What's up? she's hinged, man. She's hinged.
What was that face she made?
She was in the boat with our kids. She's hinged. She's like, brother.
She looked at us like,
what a funny lady.
What exactly was she looking for?
I don't know. Oh, what I'm funny, looking man. For is to work this summer. I got my got my job in the chicken shop. Slicing chickens.
True,
man.
Are you just gonna be sweating through the summer with this chicken job?
I think so. It's the best I could get.
Hell yeah.
I did have a trial for another place called Mr. Smith's Loft, which is like a very, very kind of fancy place, but they serve street food, and their Instagram is popping. Their Instagram is, I think they have like maybe 4,000 followers for a restaurant.
That's good, yeah.
And but I come to think of it, and there's a photographer going up to people all night trying to take photos of them smiling with their food and
at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like regularly.
I mean, that's what they post. It's just people like, we had this happy family and they ordered these wings. Didn't go so well though. Thanks for the tip. See you next time.
Oh, really? They write little texts like
that? Yeah, of course. I mean, they're trying to make it look like a fun environment so that when you're scrolling through on your phone and you're kind of hungry and maybe a bit lonely, you see all these happy faces and this bright food and try to lure you in.
And you just go there alone and it's just like the opposite of the picture. It's like you see all these laughing families around you and you're just by yourself there.
They'll never post the guy who's just in the corner on his phone. He's working for Google and he's in town for a couple of days and just wanted to get a little snack.
Yeah, like the kind of balding man in his 30s with a mustache who's just there like, you know, he smiles a little too friendly, you know?
I don't know if you saw this video circulating on the internet, but it was someone who put their iPhone on a tray in one of those sushi bars where there's a constant conveyor belt that goes around the restaurant into the kitchen and back out. Oh. And where you can just take plates off the conveyor belt, eat away, and they count up your plates at the end.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen the clip.
Right, yeah. There was a clip where someone just puts their phone on and they hit record and it goes around the entire restaurant and looks into every table. Some people wave. Some people are very frightened by the camera and kind of hide their face.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, but like, it's really interesting to see each atmosphere at each table. That's just interesting. One by one, and then it goes into the kitchen. You see everyone cooking or whatever.
And it seems real?
No, it is real. Because at the end, the phone gets turned off and like, I don't know, not in a very happy way.
Oh, I see. Someone like covers it.
Yeah, the description of the video was, oh, we got kicked out for this.
Yeah, of course.
Then there's this, you know, there's all these happy tables with multiple people, you know, at a sushi bar, as you would expect. But then there's just one table with a guy on his phone and a cap on. And it's just such a break in the video.
Yeah, totally different mood.
Yeah, poor Spencer just having his sushi by himself.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I remember when I first moved here, about like pre-pandemic. And I'd feel real guilty about this, but I'd sometimes go, I'd get like really high, and then I'd go and I'd be talking to myself, you know, like, I'm not gonna do it this time, I'm not gonna go there, but then eventually I'd find my way somehow to my bike, I'd unlock it, and I'd make my way down like into the, like, just the edge of the center and go to the closest kind of shawarma place.
Oh,
just to go grab like a donut or like a lamachun or something.
Was it the Hazret by any chance?
It's not that one. It's one on like the Nieuwe Ebbingestraat, you know? Like just across the bridge.
I know the street you're talking about. But yeah.
Anyway, I'd feel so guilty about it, man. And especially because I'd be sitting there and the people that were there were either like there with someone else, they were out drinking and they were there. So they were like social, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be there by myself, usually not even listening to music, but listening to like a podcast when, you know, you could just listen to music because they'd have music videos like on the TV. And I was like, I am such like, I'm a socially isolated male right now. And I was like, God, I hope none of my friends walk in on me right now, as I'm just like, my eyes barely open, fucking Joe Rogan blasting in my ears, stuffing a shawarma into my face. And those were some first year times, dude. And I'd feel dirty, man. I'd go home after, I'd be like, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
And then of course, just a few days later, I'd find myself there.
Funny, I wonder what it was attracting you to the space. Was it the food?
It was certainly not the people, man. Nothing against those people, but I just I didn't want to be alone, I guess, and I was just hungry. And I'd be, you know, I feel like I my girlfriend would not agree with me here, but I feel like I've learned to cook a few things since then. But definitely at that time, like living alone.
Wait a minute. You cooked me an amazing soy sauce, ginger. What was that? What did we put in that?
So the sauce is like soy, vinegar, sugar, ginger, and garlic.
Yeah, and it was a stir fry, and it, man.
Thank you, man. But that is not my recipe. You know, like, I had to learn that. I didn't know that stuff in first year. It was actually the pandemic and getting really into binging with Babish, like too much. So like, I hear that because he always uses the same background music for those cooking videos. And now when I hear that, I just a very deep depression will just take me over when I just hear, this week we're cooking whatever from Bob's Burgers. And I'll just be like, I remember. Because I would binge those videos, you know.
Wow.
But I did learn a few good recipes from that. So.
But Darius says you can't cook very well, huh? Well,
you know, how would you say this? Like the final nail in the coffin. She already wasn't convinced.
because she usually cooks for us, but was this, I said I'd make her pancakes, right? And it's the one thing I'm very confident in, like, I know how to make pancakes, like, Dutch-style pancakes, like, Swedish people will say those are Swedish-style pancakes, but they're actually lying. They're Dutch-style pancakes, and I know how to make those very well, and I make them, like, savory, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to make those for you next morning, and I ended up putting in a few too many eggs into the batter.
It was so an omelet.
It came out as like a doughy omelet, like the grossest thing. And she'll never let me forget it. She's like, yeah, you're really good at making omelets. Like, and now whenever I'm like, I'll make you pancakes tomorrow morning. She's like, oh, you mean omelets? Also, that time for, I think it was my 19th or 20th birthday, which happened here as well. You weren't there, but you actually were in town, I think.
I was in town the night before, I think. Or I was in town that night, but we had to we had to go in the morning.
Yeah,
was
that's
that the case?
It was that time, I think, yeah. But anyway, long time ago now. But we, I thought for the party, I wanted to make some brownies, you know, with a certain special ingredient.
A certain substance, yes.
And again, it was the eggs, man, because it was a brownie mix that you didn't need to add eggs to. And I was like, I'm adding three eggs. I felt like such, you know, again, just imagine me like stoned out of my mind, just whisking that up right before the party. I was like, yes, dude, it's going to be so good. And they just turned out as like these hard, just hard crackers almost, like brownie-sized hard crackers, like cookies that you've burnt, but also in brownie-sized pieces.
You know,
that's what it turned into. And Daria was there to witness that as well. So,
You know, I feel like you could have saved that in some way by perhaps getting some ice cream and calling it like a cracker de
It was not that. It was not that kind of party. You know, people just crunch through their crunch.
And just try to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I remember some people complimenting me on them anyway. Like, just at least for the taste and stuff, I guess. But yeah, the texture was not great.
That's very polite.
But anyways, yeah, summer.
Summer indeed.
It's coming. Actually, this doesn't really... You know, the sun is kind of setting. But there is like all sorts of like summer-esque things happening.
Yeah, it's a very
this.
Dutch summer already. You got some... like... 30-year-old men over there having a little barbecue, and some people over there on the, you know, that kind of bench seating that it seems like every fraternity has, and they put outside of their little, or not fraternity, student house even. Every student house has the same set of chairs and table.
Yeah.
And just sit out. Yeah. Where do they get this chair and table from?
I don't know. I'm also familiar with them from my youth. I know it's just like the kind of table you put out if you got like an entire school coming to eat. You know, at like, or like at those, you ever go, I don't know if this is a thing elsewhere, but I remember a lot of kids when I was like very young here used to have their birthdays at like a farm, like an activities farm.
Oh, yeah.
Where you'd make your own butter. And then also maybe there was like an indoor slide.
I think there's something wrong with that car over there, man.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It sounds like there's a...
The muffler or something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I know things about cars, dude. Yeah, no, it sounds like.
Oh, it's the caster.
It's the muffler casting pipe. So they just need to get. They just need
they
to fix
just,
that.
They should just pop the trunk and.
Go ahead and pop the hood and then pop the trunk inside that.
Oh yeah, it's the hood. Okay, yeah. But yes, continue.
No, but it's an expalpitator valve. That it's Emperor Palpatine valve over there that they need to.
It's releasing
fix.
Too much sciatic gas,
huh?
Clink. Sorry, I just truly interrupted your story.
What were we just talking about?
You were telling me about the days out to these, as a kid, you'd go on these day trips.
Oh, anyway, yeah, these like farms. And then, you know, we'd be like a lot of kids, you know, and they didn't have like that many chairs. So they just have these, you know, it's very simple. They're foldable. It's just a piece of wood with like a hinge and a metallic stand. It's just convenient.
I just want to know where to get them, man. Jeez, is that too much to ask?
it's like a picnic at the picnic store.
Yeah,
dude.
But where am I?
Go to the outdoor. Go to the YISC, bro. I don't know.
Okay. I'll ask them at the YISC.
Yeah.
I really need one of those benches, man. I really need one.
Are you finally gonna make the rooftop of your building livable?
Man, I really want to try get up there, to be honest. I'm so curious.
I took the escape, like the fire escape stairs, all the way to the top the other day, which was really nice. But I don't think there's any roof access. It's a tall building, but they don't let us on the roof. And I think it's a liability thing, you know? It's a student apartment building. Who knows what they'll get up to there? Who knows who's going to fall off in this?
Roof access.
Rooftop activity.
Hell yeah. Fair enough.
But, you know, I've been waiting to ask you this because there's something else you saved for the podcast to tell me about. And it's about the stand-up that you went to last week.
I always do now. Like, when we see each other and we're not recording, you're like, oh, how are things, man? I'm like, I'm saving it for the podcast. Oh, dude, that boat is called the Wet Dream.
Oh, hello.
Pretty sick, dude.
Hey, hey.
Looks a little wobbly. Looks like they lost the, what do you call that?
The rudder.
The dorsal fin?
The rudder.
Oh, yeah. The rudder. Release the rudder.
Pull it to you, the rudder. Tech, please, let go fully the rudder.
Anyhow, what I did want to tell you about is...
the stand-up.
How many minutes are we on?
Let me tell you right now, we're exactly at 21 minutes and 45 seconds.
All right, we're just gonna, you know what we're gonna do? We'll take a quick...
The break is after this, though.
No, we'll take a quick break of the musical kind.
We're gonna have two or what?
I just really want to roll a cigarette.
Okay, you can roll a cigarette. I'll take it away.
Fair enough.
But it's also not even 21 minutes for the people listening because we started a bit earlier. What can I talk about? Okay, I mean, this podcast is about to take a bit of a turn, a bit of a switch, and it's something I've tried to refrain from talking about in previous podcasts because sometimes it can be a bit too whimsical.
No fap.
A bit too spiritual. No. No, not that. Basically, the way I put it to Boston earlier is that this week I feel like I've been able to have, I don't know, I feel like I'm interacting with the world in a whole new way, from like the inside outwards. It all started with a great podcast I listened to by Oprah Winfrey, Super Soul Sundays. And, she had somebody on talking about, they released a book called Gene Keys. And at first I thought he was saying Jinkies, like Scooby-Doo. But no, it's the Gene Keys, everybody. And when asked about what's contained in the book, he said, you know, it's not really like a book filled with knowledge, like concrete facts and things. It's more a book of wisdoms, that teach you to kind of unlearn your way towards yourself. Because for the longest time, since I was like 15 or 16, I've been trying to learn, just looking for knowledge to kind of open my eyes a bit wider to like what's going on and what is this whole experience of living and all this stuff. And it's always been about accruing more information. But when this guy started talking about unlearning your way to being more you, it was actually very interesting because it's a process that I've felt has brought me a lot of just simple joy in the last week. And it's all about letting go of things. And at the end of every night now, I practice like radical forgiveness in the sense that I just think of everyone and everything in my life and anything that, you know, might be taking time for me in my day. Like, and I just forgive, like, radically. I think there's something wrong with that motorbike.
Do you forgive that guy?
Of course, he's having a lot of fun, but
looks like fun, yeah. But what kind of, when it comes to unlearning, because I've heard that term in, you know, kind of political, socio-political context of unlearning certain ideas we might have taught about history in school or might have been taught about other groups. But what kind of examples does he give in that, you know, in terms of unlearning?
That's the whole thing about the book, is that it's wisdoms and they all apply to different people differently and contextually, so there's no way to explain it like you can knowledge. It's either maybe it does resonate with you or it doesn't, or it resonates you on a later day or in a week, or it never, you know what I mean? It's a bit more of a, I wish I had the vocabulary to explain it, but it's just not a concrete thing. And
it's kind of esoteric, I guess.
Yeah, in a way. And
it's not meant to be like, it's not meant to be for everyone. The way, like, objective information could, you know...
Right, exactly.
...would be the same for everyone. This is maybe...
That's the thing. And that's not, you know... And it's easy to dismiss it then, or say, you know... But I think that there's some benefit to it. And maybe it's not to be believed as full truth, but it at least deserves a reflection and not to be fully dismissed.
And if it has positive effects for you...
It definitely
does.
That's
amazing, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. So yeah, that's my little tidbit of maybe just if things are, I don't know, if, well, also, there's a saying, energy goes where energy flows. So if within yourself you feel like a knot in your chest or like, I don't know, angry at the world or judging people or whatever, to let go of these things actually frees up space in yourself for your own energy, to your own happiness, to find a place. And then things start to flow towards you instead of trying to make everything, trying to build up things around you in the external. You know, things start to make their way towards you.
Right. It's kind of like, it's kind of the opposite of whatever a top down way of receiving information and adapting and learning. Mm. And coming from within instead. I'm getting this image of us as some kind of magnets for energies and things around us that just kind of come at us regardless, mm-hmm. and can kind of stick to you and then can kind of form this outer crust that maybe blocks new things from being attracted. And instead of like just letting that kind of happen and letting those things that you attracted maybe years ago stay there and get crusty and stuff until they maybe fall off, maybe stay there. Mm-hmm. You kind of go in from underneath and chip away at some of that stuff and let it go. And maybe there's suddenly room there to attract something new. If that's how I'm kind of understanding it.
No, for sure. Definitely. And that's as well with the thing of unlearning and letting go, is that you let go of these old energies and you leave like a nutritious soil for something new to grow in a way. And that's the thing about talking about all this stuff, is like, it's all invisible. I can't show you what I see or show you what I feel. So for us to even have a conversation about it is so difficult for me. But, yeah, hopefully I helped somebody this week. And
what was that guy's name again?
Who? Oh, Richard Rudd. Richard Rudd. Yeah. He
Richard Rudd
wrote Jinkies.
If you want to learn more.
But now, I'm still itching, man. I'm still itching to hear about this stand-up comedy.
Should we save it for after the break?
Okay, I'll save it for after the break.
All right. We'll be right back after this musical interlude.
Slow feeling, but I'm feeling quite awake. song, healing up my feeling, hold the way I made no wrongs, decisions, hold no mistakes. I compete, I don't erase, don't delete, I just misplace shit. On a stage, play deplete, don't wanna waste shit. Waste junkies on the way, blip speeding on some skates. Catch the sun up in the shade, piggybacks up in some broken skates.
So that was John Papa by Miyoko, produced by Shafan and Miyoko on a late night on Noorderstationstraat here in Groningen.
John Papa, Papa John, John Papa. That's all I got to say on this one, guys.
It's such an nostalgic song.
It's absolute classic, man. Yeah. I love it so much. It's like my favorite song to play when I'm re-entering the city after having left for a while, like pulling in on the train station or even driving into the city. I'm like, John Papa. Yeah.
And if you guys go and check out Miyoko on SoundCloud, he also has this song, Smile.
Yeah.
And I love that song as well.
And Dopey, dude. That was one of my favorites, but I don't think it's up on anymore.
Must be the Dopey. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Trust me, I'm lonely.
Anyway, I'm close and I'm sad. Yeah.
So anyway, to finally get into the stand-up story.
Yes, please.
It was Friday night, last Friday. No, it wasn't. It was Thursday night, and I've been talking about this for a few weeks now, but I finally went to the open mic here in Groningen, the only, like, I'm pretty sure only international open mic that we have here. And it was just, first of all, it was really hot. We were all, it was like in the room above this vegan restaurant, and it was really cramped but really full. I was shocked actually how many people actually showed up. We were all boiling there. And I came in with Daria. We were sitting at the back on these stools, and I didn't realize until later, but we were sitting right next to where all the comedians were. And we were sitting next to these guys, and some of them were kind of calling things out as the first comic was up on stage. It's like, wow, these guys are comfortable here. But it turned out they were all comedians. And it was such a mixed bag of people. There was this one Canadian guy who was really funny. He was like really mellow. He had a great bit with a lot of callbacks, and he kind of interspersed it with some little Dutch phrases that really hit. That were really funny, and some of the other guys were great as well. There was this one guy who bombed hard. He mentioned it was only one of his first times going up, and I'm sure I'm gonna bomb as well because I'm going up next week. But this man came in with the most convoluted story. He got stuck in the details. He got lost in the sauce. He was talking about something about priests and how they, anyway, I won't repeat bad bit, but he was really gracious about it, and everyone was still very friendly afterwards when he was just like, I hope I made you guys laugh somewhat or something. This is one of my first times. There was also this German kid who's like 2 meters tall, and he came in with a very specific kind of style. Kind of his voice was very loud and really demanded your attention. And the other guys kind of moved around and paced around this, but this guy just stood there, locked, and just started delivering jokes. Like, he just got in the zone.
That's very much like Norm Macdonald, if you've ever seen him perform live. He just stands straight, looks dead at the audience, and just goes and riffs.
Rest in peace to him. But
yes, sir.
Yeah, anyway, the guy that didn't do so great, after he did his little piece, which there had already been like a main act, and this was a 5-minute like open mic segments. But all of these people had kind of gone up before, but they were definitely beginners. So after the guy that kind of bombed, the host went up and he was like, let's give him another hand, guys. That was amazing. And then he started kind of doing some crowd work in between until the next comedian would go on. And he had some jokes about America. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, he was like, are there any Americans in the room? And there was this one guy in the back. He's like, over here, over here. Points at this dude next to him. Like, oh, what's your name, sir? He's like, BT. Like, BT?
man, that's the coolest name ever. And he started kind of making some jokes about this guy. He's like, all right, what? And I was like, BT, Blueberry Tent, let's go.
I thought Bluetooth.
Oh, damn, dude, you're not even in this.
My bad.
Anyway, he was like, so what do you do? What's your profession? He's like, comedian. What? I'm a comedian. It's like, what? No way, dude. Do you want to come up and do 5 minutes? And he's like, yeah, sure. He goes up. And man, when I say this guy killed it, he fucking murdered that room, dude. He got up there and started telling jokes like he had been doing it all his life at with an intensity and a confidence that was nowhere near the other like people that had gone up. And he just came in on a whim. I actually checked his Twitter later, and it really wasn't staged or anything. He tweeted like, ha, I just did 5 minutes at this open mic that I happened to stumble into. Life is so great, like grateful or something like that. And he was just hilarious. He was killing him. And he was like, this is the largest room full of the tallest white people I've ever seen. And he came in with that. And everyone just burst out laughing. And it was such a beautiful thing to witness. Wow. Like a true professional coming in. And then he noticed me because the room was completely full. A lot of people were sitting on the floor. And me and my girlfriend, we were sitting on this table kind of close to the stage. So we were elevated above everyone else. So of course they were gonna pick on us, and he was like, "You young man over here," or something. He's like, "What? What's your story?" So you guys are all like students, right? He's looking around at how young all of us are. He's like, "This guy over here. What do you do?" And I was like, "I dropped out of university to become a rapper." And he loved that, dude. Yeah. He was just like making fun of me all this whole set after that. He was like, "Oh, so you you just watched 8 Mile and thought I could do that too?" No, man, that's great. Like we need more white rappers like all this stuff. And I was just laughing, dude. He cracked me up. I can't even remember all the jokes, but he was such a true professional. And after that, the host there kind of started hitting on Daria, but that's all good. It is what it is. It was just such a fun time. And we were actually about to leave as well because it was so hot. And I had to be at work like just half an hour after. But we still wanted to go. And man, was it worth it. Like this guy, BT Comedy, I'll link his Instagram. And I went up after that, and I went up to talk to him. I was like, and he saw me. He recognized me instantly. He was like, dude, I am so serious. He grabbed me by my shoulder. He's like, don't give up on your dreams, man. If you want to be a rapper, do it, man. Do it. And he was like hyping me up. And I was like, I will, man. I will. But actually, I'm kind of pivoting. I have a podcast, and I want to do stand-up comedy. He was like, yes, then do that, man. Wow. Don't give up. Don't give up. And he like really grabbed me and instilled it in me.
It sounds like he had just experienced such success in his own dream by just going up and killing 5 minutes.
I guess
he thought anyone can do this, anyone should do this.
Definitely. And he was just in the best mood. He was apparently just in town for the MotoGP that was happening in Assen, I guess. And he just happened to stumble into this open mic, and he was just like loving life, had the best time here.
Nice.
Anyway, it was just very inspirational. It was very hilarious. I actually had talked to him after on Instagram. I was trying to arrange for him to come on the podcast because he had a podcast as well, but he left already now. He left on Sunday, and we weren't able to figure it out. But anyway, shout out to him, man. It was such an inspiration to see him go up. Yeah, he was just so funny. It's a special thing, you know, like I love going to these open mics anyway, just for the energy and for a few laughs. So mostly just to see the dynamics of the comedian and the crowd and how different people approach it differently. But usually you're not, especially if you haven't had anything to drink, you're not laughing out loud, you know, the whole time.
Right.
But with this guy, we really were.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
That's so heartwarming to hear, man.
Yeah, it was very heartwarming.
Also, that whole scenario of dropping out of school to become a rapper, and you're just like a white Dutch kid and all this.
Yeah, stuff, no, I love throwing that to them.
Yeah, it's a great piece to like boosh on, but definitely. Also for yourself, if you're going to be going up doing stand up, what a great thing. And this whole relationship with Daria, that she's buying you drinks, and the other day at McDonald's.
With the other comedian. I was like, yeah, I'm not the one paying the bill.
Yeah, that's really funny. What was this other bit? We were talking about it earlier today. like a good stand-up bit when we were watching the ants eating the leftovers of our donor.
This it was something about it was the dark forest theory, which is actually kind of a dark theory about extraterrestrial life and how all other kind of intelligent alien species are smart enough to stay the fuck out of sight and maybe not even roam on the surfaces of their planets and hide themselves
from predators and
from whatever
like that.
Horrible danger is out there in the galaxy. And how we're humans, we're just like, oh, let's just broadcast our location everywhere. Let's shoot these rockets up in space. Let's plant a flag on the moon. And how dumb that really is. Like, it was kind of like that.
No, yeah. It's a great place to start from.
Yeah.
Or like how...
It's very observational. Like, I do want to tell more kind of personal, kind of grounded stories from my life. Those are the ones I feel like I connect to most as well. Mm. Unless it's like Bill Burr. Or,
Dave Chappelle,
you know, but, you know, for being actually in a room with a comedian, like this one Italian guy that went up that night as well. He was like, this is my midlife crisis, guys. He was just standing up there very honest. He was like, COVID did this to me. I never did comedy before. It's like a 50-year-old man, you know, but he killed it. And he was like, it's my beautiful Polish wife over there. And all right, guys, that's the end of my time. I'm going to go invade Poland. it was that.
Right.
Just a dad going up.
Right, right.
And he's like, I can say it. And his wife, dude, she was sitting there. She was like, she was not
happy. Nah. Who would be?
But anyway, his jokes were so personal, which made them really great. Man, all of these like stand-up bits and whatever, outside of the context of like a comedian on stage, they really hit differently, you know, or even seem more offensive than
they can come off as brash or like unthoughtful or just like ignorant. But that's part of the fun of comedy, is just being ignorant for the sake of it and letting that part out. It's kind of a release, you know, like being ignorant where in a world we're not allowed to, we gotta think about everything so much and you know, everything is very analyzed and et cetera. Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, man, thanks for sharing. Yeah. I enjoyed hearing about that.
It was a lot of fun, man. And sadly it was the last one they organized. But they're gonna be back in August and I'm gonna be there every week. Yeah, stand-up comedy is just such a great energy.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it.
Yep.
Also, later that night, I had a really it was a really great night at work after that, and there was like a lot of synchronicity to it. A lot of things ended up happening, and I met this guy from Mozambique.
Oh, no way.
From Inyaka, dude.
Hey.
He grew up on Inyaka.
Inyaka Island.
And I heard him talking to some guys because I was standing behind the counter helping someone with their locker, you know, usual shit. And I heard him saying to some guys like, hey, you know the song Mozambique by Bob Dylan? And they were like, no, man, sorry. And I could just see his kind of frustration and stuff. And I was like, Mozambique? I was like, to the bomba da com. Hey. And he was like, oh, dude, no way. I was like, yeah, I lived in Beira de Triunfo. He's like, oh, no way, I'm from Inyaka. He was like, don't tell me you've been there, man. I was like, I've been there. He was like, what? And we had the best like interaction there that I've had during work in a long time. He was so genuinely excited to meet someone who even knew or like had also lived in his home country. And he was like, I'll cook for you one time, man. I'll cook you something. And I was like, awesome, Shima, maybe. And he was like, yes, dude, Shima. Oh, so great. And he actually does street photography as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That actually brings me into another story I've been wanting to share, but I feel like you're preparing something here.
I am, yeah. I wanted to talk a bit about my project that I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So I started in spatial design for my course, interior design and architecture, and now I'm switching over to graphic design. And we had this project where we had to pick a message and then pick two people to translate this message in between. So the message I chose, or the topic I chose, was about habits and ritual and like daily practice. And then I chose two of my friends, Boston and Morgan Biggs, back home in Ireland, because I saw you guys on both sides of a spectrum that we both are that
on opposite sides.
Yeah, on opposite sides of the productivity spectrum, let's say, where you had just dropped out of your course.
Yeah.
And didn't have a job. And, you know, I was in the same position as you.
Yeah.
But then there was Morgan back in Ireland who is, you know, so entrepreneurial minded and from the age of 17 started his own one-on-one football coaching service because he had been a footballer and a really great footballer, but he got an injury and he tore his ACL or something. I'm not sure what the injury was, but it was clear to him that he wasn't going to actually become professional because 17, 18, that's when you actually get scouted by teams and when you actually make those next steps.
Right.
So he made a pivot in his life to start coaching one-on-one. And he's been doing it now for 5 years and he's got, I think, 13,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, we should link his page down below as well.
Most definitely.
Although
yeah.
we definitely need his followers more than he needs ours.
No, man, who knows? Some back and forth, some trading. And
but the way you first explained it to me, it's like it's kind of a graphic mediation, right? Between these two sides. Like you're meant to present the one person's viewpoint to the other one. In a visual way.
Right. It's graphic design, which is basically visual communication. So how can I communicate your life and what you value and how you see things to him and then vice versa, where you both see the value in, because I believe that there is that value in both ways of living life.
Yeah.
Where you're maybe more craving or your actions are more based on pleasure and his more on purpose.
Yeah.
But also
I'm just a hedonist.
That's the thing, though. That's how it was portrayed in the beginning, where he was like a sort of, he was the angelic view of someone very productive, and you were the guy who's lit. And it wasn't representative of how I saw you both as people.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's so many different things you teach me that he doesn't, and vice versa.
But you're telling me he doesn't stay up every night until 6 a.m. playing GTA and watching shows.
That's what I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, he's up at 7 a.m. He cracks open that.
Wow.
But no, he has the same breakfast every single morning, which is like porridge with soy milk and lukewarm hot chocolate with soy milk put in the microwave for 42 seconds. And then he takes his tablets and vitamins because he's got an overactive thyroid gland. And then he pops open a Monster Energy, a white can, drinks it, hops in the car, goes to training, sets up.
Dialed in.
Trains people all day and then he's home. And yeah, rinse and repeat. And yeah, so I saw I was painting him as sort of the hero and you as the villain, and that's not how I see you guys. So I had to go a bit deeper and actually find what kind of things are maybe you valuing that he's forgetting about. So maybe by going out and doing the same things every day, he's maybe not seeing, you know, spending time with his family as much as you probably do, or because you live with your brother. So does he, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. The perfect candidates for this.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between you guys. And maybe that's what I wanted to show as well.
And so where's the project? Where are you at with the project now?
So right now I'm... Oh, do you hear that motorbike?
Is that the same? I bet it's the same one as before.
I think I should tell him there's something wrong with his... Oh, something wrong with his engine, maybe.
I think it's his palpating gland is...
No, his Foley extrapolator is actually busting up right now.
The Foley strap.
Oh, that does sound like a Foley extrapolator.
The Foley strap on, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, hey. But yeah, so I started doing some research, listened to some podcasts, and I read a book called Atomic Habits. And so I just wanted to read a bit from like this research notebook I have.
True.
Because maybe our listeners might find some use in it in their day.
Let's go.
Yeah. So this is from a podcast called Living with Reality. And my notes go as follow. If we are conscious of what we are doing and how we are doing it, then we can start to notice the effect it has on our internal state. The word habit comes from the Latin habere, which means to have, to hold, to position, or to keep. So a habit is something that has been established in some way, and we have it, you know. Establishing healthy habits, daily practices, triggers, start in the conscious state and then make their way into the subconscious or unconscious state. So that's where they all live. And that was an interesting thing too, because we have to make zines about everything we learn. So I'm going to make a zine all about the subconscious and the unconscious and kind of traveling in there like a, you know, an explorer and trying to see what habits you have and all these things. It's like, it's difficult for some people because you got to confront yourself in some ways sometimes.
Right.
And so then... Routine, the word routine, is derived from the word root, to mean road, path, or way. So your daily routine is your journey or your way, and the habits are what you have and hold and position. So habits can also become integrated into our personality and our idea of self. And that's where it also becomes tricky, where it's hard to change habits that you feel make you you.
Right.
But the thing to notice is that you're not your habits, and you're not your thoughts or your ideas. You are the one holding those or right. experiencing those. You're not those things themselves.
You're the container.
Right.
Like you said, that root of the word of having,
mm-hmm.
you have a habit.
Yeah, exactly. You're the one holding the habit. It doesn't make you you.
Right.
And the same with thoughts and ideas and stuff. A lot of spiritual teachers would teach about breaking our habits, whether it was habits of thinking, habits of action, because it gives way to the possibility of acting rather than reacting. So habits are almost reactions rather than actions in themselves that come from a conscious place.
Okay.
So yeah, that was that podcast. It was very spiritual. It was very nice.
Because habits are kind of automatic, that last part.
Yeah, they become second nature
right.
after some time. And then to go back in there and actually notice what second nature can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the next book, Atomic Habits. I really like this one because it's all about
I've heard of it.
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
It's all about making small change that all adds up over time to leave you with massive results. Because a lot of the times we think to achieve something huge, you have to do something huge. Or to become something great,
right.
you have to do something great.
Yeah,
but actually,
like right now, I have to do the big thing
right.
all at once.
Yeah, but this book shows that through 1% increments every single day, just getting 1% better every day leaves you with huge gains after at some time.
Right. It's exponential.
Yeah. And so the way they put it as well is if a flight was leaving from New York
yeah.
and going to Los Angeles and it's pointing straight at LA, and it was going to just fly straight there. If you change on the tarmac, the plane's rotation by
yeah.
3 degrees,
yeah.
so that it takes off 3 degrees off from Los Angeles, it ends up in Tijuana, Mexico. Ends up in a whole other city, a whole other country
right.
from 3 degrees of shifting off the original point.
Yeah.
So that just shows like the small changes we make today could lead us into a completely different place in the future with tiny, tiny changes every day.
That's a really good metaphor.
Yeah. I really liked it as well. Yeah, so the tiny improvements aren't noticeable in the beginning as well because it's an exponential curve and we expect things to be linear. So going up the graph, if you see like a graph, it goes up just from the point of zero. It goes like up and right, you know, like diagonally 45 degrees all the way up. That's how we expect things to go when you start something. But in reality, it's exponential. So first there's this dip when all these small changes aren't actually doing that much, but it starts to pick up and the rotation starts to change. And all of a sudden there's a breaking point
right.
where your exponential curve passes that hypothetical linear curve. And after that breaking point, it just goes up and
it
up and up.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually encountered that curve before,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in relation to habits. It
oh,
probably came from this book and how the inverse is also true for negative habits.
Yes.
And kind of
going down.
Exponential downfall. Yeah.
Truly.
That like eating poorly and not moving around or whatever it might be
yeah.
will not really affect you for quite a while. You'll get away with it until suddenly you drop down real deep.
Right.
And it actually did all matter and it did all contribute to this, you know?
Truly. And that's the thing as well with the body is that it doesn't discern good habits from bad habits. So whatever you're doing consistently, your body will make into a habit.
Right.
It's not going to say, oh, that's not a beneficial action I'm doing, I'm going to forget about that one. No, it's anything you're doing. So we actually need to first have the awareness about how we're feeling and what we're doing to make those decisions into what our body will then create as habits.
What?
It's almost a system you can hack because
right.
you're going to make habits anyway. So just with some awareness
right.
and
why
thinking
not
ahead.
Mix at least some of them consciously, that will help you out.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. But I want to ask you is why... Or how did you first actually become interested, you know, in habits, you know, because you could have made this project about anything, right? About any aspect of our lives or of the people's lives that you were going to do this about.
Yeah.
But what makes habits so interesting to you?
It's really a personal reason. It's for myself, because I've got quite ambitious dreams for the future and hopes of. I mean, I've always got an idealized version of life in my head that I feel like is attainable, and I won't get there without good habits and without awareness and consciousness. So this topic in particular means so much to me, and I hope to learn from this project for the rest of my life. At 22, I feel like this is that tarmac.
Right.
Like, depending on that, how this year goes, if I didn't give up weed a couple months ago, and if I didn't start running at the start of the year and everything, I'd just be sitting in my room. And if we didn't do this podcast and didn't get these episodes in. Yeah, and it would be so,
with the podcast, for sure, I think we can both feel the momentum of how difficult it kind of was for the first few episodes and how many discussions we would need before actually hitting record and how critical we'd be afterwards. Just all the blockades that were there and all the doubt that each consecutive time that we do it kind of gets less and less. And now it's unspoken. Like, we know we're going to record on Wednesday. We know this is something we're doing. And it's just, it's gaining momentum.
Yeah.
And like, if I go back now to even the mindset and like life before we started doing this podcast, it just, everything just felt very different. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but like,
these habits weren't set in yet. You know,
they weren't
and
set
it,
in.
It takes 21 days, it takes 3 weeks for a habit to really form.
Right.
And now we've been doing this for 2 months. So it is now that when Wednesday rolls around, I'm expecting to be here holding this mic, talking to you.
And we really did start from zero, like starting to record that first episode. You're starting from zero. It's immensely difficult, and it's difficult to convince yourself that that curve will rise. And, you know, you can't see it. It's like you say, in the moment, it's just
that's where
linear.
Faith and belief comes in. And even just, it's that difference between a short-term reward mindset or the instant gratification mindset and a delayed reward mindset. If you do everything, because everything we do has a delay, no action is just whole in itself, you know, like everything affects everything else. So let's say you eat a frozen pizza late at night. It's not just you ate the frozen pizza late at night. It's that next day you wake up, you didn't sleep that well. You go into work, you don't have as much energy. So you fuck up a couple times.
You take a gnarly shit at the office.
Well, maybe you do. No. But all the conversations that come through through the day, you're not at your top, you know, you're not at your best potential that you could have been. And you miss out maybe on a great conversation that someone else then goes home and is in a good mood and has a great conversation with their sister. And, you know,
all
everything
happening
we
simultaneously,
do is
right?
Yes.
Like those people that have their different habits. I think there's also a particular kind of emotion for when your own life is not going that great and you encounter these people that for whatever reason have found a lot of success, or like, you know, when you're sitting there late at night in the park smoking a joint, drinking a beer, and you see some guy like that is actually out for a run at the same time, you know, and there's this weird kind of resentment / jealousy that you don't want to admit to yourself. But those are just two completely different experiences, you know, passing along the same park bench maybe.
Yeah.
That always interests me a lot as well.
Yeah, true.
And like those different trajectories can kind of interact, and how it's not so easy to pull someone down from the upwards curve, and it's not so easy to lift someone up from the downwards curve, you know?
It's
it takes
up to you
time.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. But what I hear from your interest in this topic is that you, and I know this about you, like you have these grand goals, you have these things you want to accomplish in life, and you're kind of reverse engineering your way
there,
like how to get there, and understanding that it's not just going to come down. Because I think it's kind of a meme now, but like this, one of the few emotions a guy can experience, you know, and it's like it'll be like soul crushing depression or getting your life together at 3 a.m. and you suddenly start doing push-ups and cleaning your room, and you're like, and it's this explosion of productivity or whatever, but it's not sustainable. But I think a lot of people can relate to that kind of manic, you know, I haven't done enough, I have to compensate, I'm going to do the grand thing right now.
Yeah, it's all about just calming down and waking up the next day and doing something small that you can do the next, and also introducing things one by one. You're not going to, and it's not also about fixing yourself. It's, there's this difference as well when trying to change yourself between, you know, resisting what you like, resisting the negative. Like some people try to stop a bad habit and stop doing this and stuff, or just flowing into what you desire, you know?
Right. So, embracing the positive.
Right. To change yourself, it's much easier to flow into what you want than to resist what it is you don't want. Yeah.
Beautiful words of wisdom to lead us into our second musical break of episode 8.99.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Laying up in bed with my head awake, slow my breath down up to outer space. Always cut it even when I cut the cake. It's an open season, I ain't no mistake. It's another day, it's another day. Focus on my energy, that's the only way. Leave your love here if you go away. It'll take a couple years till it's all okay. But I'm growing through the pain, leave the picture in the frame. Cause the memory is heavy, packing kilos on the pain. Shifting gears and switching lanes, son. Keep it wild and never tame, son. You could throw away the fame, cause it's all just a game. Picking up the bonuses, man, I super smash the day. They'll take away your essence, so I'm sitting on the bay. Watching the ships roll in, it'll never be the same again. Give me chills like way back when. Ah, oh, but it'll never be the same again. Now it'll never be the please.
So welcome back from the second music break.
That was beautiful, man.
That was a song of mine. I probably produced it with Milo. I'm not sure what song it is. But yeah, Milo and I have been making music since I got here to Groningen.
Well, that early?
Yeah, I've been here for 2 years now, and I met him on the first day of school. It was the introduction day for Minerva. At this abandoned factory, at this place called the Sugar Terrain, because it used to be an old sugar factory for the whole city of Groningen.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our introduction day there. And yeah, we ended up sitting beside each other. I was like, so did you do anything? Did you make any music? He was like, yeah, I make beats, I make raps. And I was like, no way.
That's so cool.
And yeah, it's great. We have all the songs from last year, and as soon as you hear it, like a song, it's a bit like a diary entry, but sonically it takes you right back to that time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's wild. And it feels like that for all the music I've made. And
you have music even from before that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because I did music production first in Ireland.
Even before that, I remember you'd show me kind of some of the programs you were using for DJing and stuff. And I was already like, cool, man, but this looks way above my pay grade. Like some of these programs looked so professional, and you had files and files of.
It was the same for me, especially with the programs, because like it's so daunting when you open it up and there's all these buttons and all these things, you have no idea how to use them. And for the longest time, I was really discouraged to keep going. But I don't know if you know the music producer Muramasa.
Yeah.
He's got that great song Lovesick with ASAP Rocky. Oh, man.
I played it at work the other night, really, man.
That one takes me
such
back
a
as
banger.
Well. I love it so much.
Yeah.
But in an interview, he was saying that at 14 or 15, he would just cycle home from school as fast as possible, open up his laptop, and just sit in front of the program until he learned how to use it. He would just sit there and look at it and push buttons, and it kind of gave me just the trust that everything will work out if I just keep showing up. Soon enough, I'll know enough things to make a song and to be able to export it. And after that, I can get good.
Yeah, and you don't even realize sometimes when you're learning these things how much you know compared to like the average person.
Right.
Like, you know, like I see you doing stuff as well on those programs where you're like, and you're always like, I have so much to learn. I don't know how to do a lot of things yet, or this is very basic and stuff. But I'm like, I'm sure I'd need a few years to be able to do this at least so quickly. And, you know, they're real skills that you're building up.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I've taken this path, for sure.
I actually, when we were talking to the guy before we started recording, I heard you saying that you're making like a kind of bedroom pop.
Yeah, very style. Very synthy, very wavy kind of music.
Where does that? I've heard the term before, but what does it kind of?
I don't know.
What does it kind of mean?
It's more, I guess, it works well in loops. So a lot of the music I make is kind of on this format of loops, where I'll make a drum kit that will go for four bars and then loop around. And so then I'll get a bass. And while the drum kit is playing, I'll add the bass track to it and open up another track selection, choose a piano, add a piano, and then it works with all three instruments.
Right.
And then even from that, sometimes if I don't like it, I'll take out the drums and the bass and just keep that piano and then start again.
Right.
And add a different set of drums, and maybe I'll choose a synthesizer to go over that and then create a whole new song from this nice one piece I selected from the first iteration. And that can go on forever.
Yeah, you can keep removing and taking elements and changing them.
And actually this one time, there's also the whole idea of sampling in music, which is very common. And that's a lot of fun as well, where you can get a record from decades ago and just choose a little part of a vocal that you like, and then stretch that and pitch it up a couple of times, and you make a whole new instrument.
Yeah, I was actually wondering today if that's the Leonard's Lake, that song, if that's a sample. I feel like it probably is, right? Just a
most
deeply
definitely
distorted.
Let's just play that one little part now.
Yeah, let's play that part.
Oh, I'm really glad you showed me that song. It's an experience.
It's so full of texture.
Yeah. Oh, texture as well, man. I love texture.
It's something Tyler was talking about as well on the interview that we both agree was not like the best interview.
The one he did for Converse in Paris?
Yeah.
In Paris.
But he talked about that one song, Wilshire, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And how people were complaining about the way it was recorded, and he explained that he recorded it with a mic like this, like held in his hand, and that he poured it all out in one session and got all the emotion in. And when you listen to it, it goes from like left to right in your earphones, and you kind of feel it. You almost feel something physical coming out of your earphones, kind of pushing against your eardrums for every kind of and all these different sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's texture, you know, and people don't talk about that anymore. And they're like, you should have re-recorded it. You should have smoothed it out. And
I'm all about texture. Texture is the name of my company.
Yeah.
My uncle, I have an uncle who worked in Silicon Valley for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And he really told me, like, when I started doing my graphic design work and stuff, he's like, you should have a company. You put it all through the company. Instead of, you don't have any personal liability or anything like that. Even when things could go wrong or anything like that, it all goes through the company. It's like a safety net. So he started a company on my behalf, and I called it Texture because that's really what I wanted to do through design, because I felt like everything was about colors and shades and you know, shapes, and that's all 2D, but texture is like the third dimension, you know.
And I think it's true, lack of detail as well these days.
Yeah,
like monochromatic
pastel, maybe
pastel, and just a lack of detail. I saw a great comparison of like in the Netherlands, but I'm sure it could be anywhere, kind of how not even lampposts, but little just poles that will separate like a sidewalk from a road, how those used to have some character and some shapes and some decoration in maybe the 18th century or something,
right.
And now it's just a flat stainless steel
that's post-modernism.
Right, yeah. But it, yeah, that lack of detail is kind of alienating.
Yeah, but it's also hard to generalize all design these days because there's so much. We can't even say that things are becoming pastel or things these days are da-da-da.
But I'm sure we could say like minimalism is a trend and lack of detail, you know, if you want to define like the modern look is definitely...
For sure. But then again, I think there's a synthesis with minimalism where you put in spurts of material and like a wicker rug...
Yeah.
Where everything else is minimal, but then you have accents that are textured and you can kind of combine those two things where the minimalism is just so beautiful, but then gives space and almost framing for what you do want to show and what you do want to accentuate rather than everything being ornamental and finely detailed and kind of creepy, kind of kind of vintage.
Yeah, when you see like how people used to decorate their houses in the 70s and in the States, that's when it gets into creepy territory. Like heavy patterning and different colors and just like everything so heavy and in your face.
Yeah,
it's too much,
man. Even the front of some buildings here, you'll see like a stone cut out of a face all around the building, or these gargoyles on the roofs.
It's a lot.
It's a lot for me to take in. I just want to get to work. It's like,
yeah, also on like a smaller, much smaller scale. I feel like I've also, without even realizing it, been really into the concept of kind of like texture in photography or any kind of visual works. And even with these episodes, we, you know, artificially kind of add grain to the video feed to kind of make it a bit dirtier or grungier, I guess. But especially with a lot of stuff in Photoshop, I just love adding noise and speckles and dust and scratches, kind of like a film look. And like with the thumbnails as well, you could argue that like the episode 5 and the yellow tent, blueberry tent logo are very clean in a way. But then there's this added texture on top of that of like the noise and the speckles. And I really like that combination. Yeah. I think it works really well.
Definitely. Also the thing with texture, I thought it could be applied literally to any part of design or creative output. Where I was imagining, okay, so there'll be texture sonics, which is the music and the DJing, where it's just textured beats and, you know, kind of these, like African house or Latin house. I don't know if you've heard those, but like house music from...
Not enough.
It's so amazing because it's that EDM style, which can be very synthy and very crisp and very... Very,
very
plain.
Soulless.
Yeah, exactly. But then you put in these African textures and these rhythms that... Oh man, it just makes it sing.
Ooh, like remember, you know, when I showed you the beat off that song from the Billy Woods album, Wharves?
I don't remember.
And it has like, you recognize the instrument. It was like a marimba or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of percussion, tonal percussion instrument.
Right.
And I was like, I've never heard a beat like this.
Mm.
And it's like this, I don't know. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
It really stands out.
Yeah, it does. But then again, yeah, fully, and then onto film, you could have texture films where things just feel a lot more real, I don't know, than just like, but that's the thing, even with Wes Anderson, like the Grand Budapest Hotel, it's very minimal, it's very symmetrical, but there is a texture to everything, and the shades and the colors, they're deep and they draw you in. And
no, there's tons of detail, especially with the stop motion movies he makes. I mean, the amount of textures in those, I mean, especially when you're just using real life materials.
Yeah.
It's just and in visual effects as well, it's a huge topic, right? It's like you have a CGI robot, but he looks computer generated. Now you gotta come in and add little blemishes and
scratches
imperfections. Yeah. You know, that's where the signs of life are. The signs of life, exactly.
That's a nice little quote.
Yeah.
Texture, like the signs of life.
Dude, you know what's what just popped in my head because of robots as well? WALL-E. That's like the smoothest. Even the humans in that are like so not textured.
I love that movie so much, man.
Me too.
I love it so much. I have a little plushie of WALL-E that a friend got me like 2 years ago from the Disney store in Ireland. It sits in my room in a corner. I felt like I had to grow up this year a bit, so I kind of put them all away, put them in a corner. But I love tapping into the child side of me, man. It's so nice. And I was speaking about this yesterday with Ivana. Like, we see childish as sort of immature sometimes, but if being childish is being joyous and energetic and curious and all these things, what's so bad about that, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be naive, and it doesn't need to be
reckless,
unthought out and reckless. It's just a very pure, beautiful side to all of us that we don't need to shut out when we get older. And that,
definitely,
yeah, I mean, is such a, it's so nice that life starts out that way.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Yeah,
if you can hold on to it, and
how, even just, yeah, like a Wall-E or like a Ratatouille for me was I think the big one, or even Shrek.
I love, like, the soundtrack of Ratatouille.
Yeah, so good. But how that will just impact your life so fully when you're, you know, when you're that young. It's like there's no barrier, there's no judgment. It's just fully, which is why, as well, you know, children should probably be protected from, you know, seeing horrible things, you know, in general, but you know, in what we can control in media and stuff.
Well, especially with things like music videos and a lot of advertising, where it's just, in my eyes, it's kind of like just killing innocence, and it kind of,
right,
like, not respecting what's sacred or what can be sacred. And it's, you know, it's kind of cool to be like that and to think nothing matters. And, you know, everyone goes through like a phase like that in their life. But I think that's just like the antithesis to, 'cause like there's this whole thing of having a thesis, which is like things are innocent and beautiful and lovely. And yeah, the antithesis comes where it's like, nah, nothing matters, nothing's beautiful, you know, it all means nothing. And then the synthesis is the combination of the two, where, okay, nothing has any meaning, things mean nothing, but let's make things beautiful anyway.
Yeah.
And that synthesis, that third step, is what I kind of want to do with design and stuff, where it's not modernism, it's not postmodernism, but it's a combination of both that is almost having a dialogue with itself. It's like a dynamic thing, yeah, in the end.
It's like dialectics. Mm-hmm. It's like holding the tension of the opposites, to use a psychological concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely what we need more of anyway, I think.
Yeah, man. I was also hoping we could end this podcast with just having a bit of fun, mate. You know, it's been a great podcast so far, but
yeah, know what I mean.
I'm just hoping to sit back, have a little, you know, we're sitting here on a bench.
We've been 11 sitting o'clock here for at years.
Night. Fucking hours, mate.
We were sitting here getting along brand new.
All of a sudden. Okay, let's play the Lemmy. Should we play this?
Give us your laptop.
Give us your laptop, mate.
I mean, we can just play like the one, the best part.
I mean, but it's all because of the build up.
The build up, yeah, no. Maybe just go watch it. Like, yeah, go watch, look up
Lemmy.
Lemmy, guess your laptop.
Yeah, if you do that today, I'm promising you, you'll have a good laugh.
You're in for a wild ride.
That's Giz your
or
laptop.
Look up I'm Still Tripping
by Lemmy.
Lemmy.
I'm still tripping. You know,
we had fun, didn't we?
He's 40 years old now. Fucking. he still live streams on Twitch.
It's so wild that he went from like having a TV show to, you know, live streaming on the internet.
But that's the thing, his whole livelihood was coming from that brain and that comedic mind of his. And if he can live stream straight to an audience and cut out the middleman, especially for his type of comedy, it works so well. But like, you'll see him shouting and like having fun or whatever, and his wife comes in like, I'm fucking putting the kid to sleep. She'll close the door and he'll just sit there in silence a little, and it's, ooh. Yeah, man, it's a deep cut.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh,
that should be our musical interlude right there.
I don't
know if you
right.
guys can hear it, but
some great beats,
all sorts of noises. It's interesting, man, recording out in public like this.
I love it.
Yeah,
I really do.
Especially in summer, actually, it's a luxury.
Yeah, it is. It's not going to be nice when it's cold.
No, in like the heart of winter, we'll be, you know, sitting inside.
I think, yeah, we'll have to get a setup going, a proper tent, maybe.
True.
A little heater, space for a guest.
Yeah.
All right, man. That was a great podcast. I'm really
that
happy
really
we did
good
this.
One.
Episode 8.99. If anyone's still listening now, we thank you so much.
Wow, that is. Thank you for making it this far. Honestly,
yeah.
that's amazing.
We love you.
we love our listeners. We love any support, and yeah.
Just remember that you're connected to everything and everyone around you. Even the person you interacted with at the supermarket today, in some way, you're connected with. Like, if you're alone, it doesn't necessarily mean you should be lonely. And tomorrow's a new day. The rest of the day is there. Go embrace it, go live it, and
yep. And subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, and most of all, subscribe to our TikTok.
You'll feel even less lonely when you comment on this video and let us know your thoughts on the episode and what you'd like to see from us. It really helps out.
Yeah, definitely. We'll incorporate it into next episode
also,
with Michaela Martinez.
Absolutely. And also when we started recording here, like all these people around, there were people sitting on this bench. Actually, we were down there.
Mm-hmm.
People were having beers, sitting all around. And now it is just pretty much just us out here. And it's dark. And we've been out here for a while.
I'd say like 2-3 hours now.
But it's been a really great episode.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being in this with me so far. It's been so much fun.
Thank you too, man. It's always a pleasure. Until next episode, you guys. I don't know.
See you next week. This was episode 8.99.
Peace.
Stand up, got out, bring back, don't go love. Bring back, got too much, don't show love. It's flat up.